Good morning. Happy Easter. We are glad that you are here today. My name is Paul, one of the pastors here at Hope, and just want to offer on behalf of our congregation our warmest Easter greeting to you. I fully recognize as I welcome you here today that we're all here maybe for a little bit different reasons. We're all here to celebrate Easter, but what brought us here may be different. Some of you are family and friends that are from out of town, and you're here worshiping with your family and celebrating with them. If you are a guest to Hope, we just want to say we're really glad that you are here today. For some of you, I know I see you every week, and you're part of this congregation, and we're celebrating Easter together today, and I want to say we're glad you're here as well. And then just to be honest, I know that some of you here today, maybe you were handcuffed and bound and brought here against your will, right, by parents or a spouse or grandparents or someone. If so, I just want to say we're really glad you're here as well, however you got here. And we hope that this service is a blessing to you. We don't believe at Hope here that it is an accident that you are here, but that God had a purpose in that. For us as Christians, Easter is the main event. This is the main thing, the big deal, right? We make a big deal culturally about Easter. We've got the flowers and the bunnies and the chocolate and the Easter baskets and dress up in pastel colors and all kinds of things. But we know that even though all that stuff is great, that that's really not what Easter is about. That Easter is about the empty tomb, that Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even if you woke up this morning and the chocolate bunny wasn't hollow, it was solid chocolate, right? That's the only way to go, I'm telling you. It's not about that, right? It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb. So the question I want you to wrestle with today, to encourage you in, is this question: what has Easter got to do with me? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ have to do with my life? And the way I'd like to examine that question is to actually back up in Scripture a little bit. Go back 9 chapters and look at a passage where we see another empty tomb. In the Gospel of John, there's actually 2 stories of empty graves. And I want to look at one that comes before John chapter 20, our scripture of Jesus' empty tomb. And this story is a story about Jesus and his encounter with 3 siblings, a sibling group whom he loved very much, who he was friends with. Their names are Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And basically what has happened is they live in Bethany, which is just outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus is in the countryside, and he's ministering, and he gets word that Lazarus is sick. But Jesus doesn't go rushing to Lazarus' side, and then he gets word that Lazarus has died. And Lazarus was someone that Jesus and him were friends. This is someone that Jesus loves. But Jesus, even after he hears that he dies, doesn't go rushing in. The Bible says he waits 4 days. And the reason why the number 4 is important is because for Jews, they believe that maybe after day 1 or day 2 or after day 3, after somebody died, maybe there was still a chance, right? But after 4 days, you were really dead, okay? 4 days dead, you were really dead. So John makes the note that it's 4 days, and then Jesus goes to see Lazarus. He's waited all this time, and after the 4th day, when Lazarus is really dead, he goes to visit. And the first person he encounters is someone named Martha. Martha's the oldest sibling. And if we remember Martha, Martha's that type A personality, right? Martha's the one where Jesus is teaching in the living room, and she's worried about the food and the dishes and the laundry and all those things, right? Some of you are Martha types here today. You've been up all night making sure that Easter's going to be just perfect for your family, all the decorations, everything vacuumed, clean. You probably got in fights with your kids about this, right? That's Martha, not Martha Stewart, Martha from the Bible, and some of you can relate to this. Well, Martha encounters Jesus, and the first thing she says to Jesus, she says, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Wow. Can you imagine Jesus to be confronted about this? She's saying, Jesus, why did you wait? I mean, why didn't you come when you got news that he was sick? Jesus, we know you can heal people, but Lazarus is really dead now. And if you had been here, Jesus, why were you here? My brother would not have died. But Martha's the obedient one, right? She doesn't want to be disrespectful. So she says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again, right? And Martha answered, I know he will rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Isn't that the thing we say as Christians, right? Have you ever been to a funeral of someone who died unexpectedly, died too soon? And we don't have words to say, right, to comfort these people besides to say, hey, you know, there's going to be a day. I mean, hold on, because there will be a day. One day, someday, God is going to make all this right. One day, someday, we're going to get to heaven and you'll be reunited. And that's a powerful promise. And it's a promise of hope. It's a good thing. But also, there's a message in that, you know, chin up. I'm sorry that it stinks right now, and I'm sorry that it hurts right now, but there's nothing I can do about right now. I mean, you just have to wait till one day, someday, God makes it right. So Martha answers like, look, I know, Jesus, that on that last day that Lazarus will rise again. But then Jesus goes even deeper. And I have to imagine that this was quite confusing to Martha. He says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha, she answers, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And I wonder, did Martha really understand what Jesus was getting at, what Jesus was driving at when he said, I am the resurrection and the life? And then we see that Jesus encounters Mary, the other sister. And if Martha's the type A personality, Mary's the one that, right, is all emotion. She wears her heart on her sleeve. Mary's the one that sits at the feet of Jesus when there's chores to do and soaks it in. Mary's the one that anoints Jesus' feet with oil, kind of a lavish demonstration of her love, right? Mary's all heart. And the Bible says that Mary just falls down at Jesus' feet, weeping and crying. And she has the same thing to say. She says, Lord, if you would have been here, if you would have only been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a moment in life, maybe it was a tragic loss, someone that died too unexpectedly? Maybe it's a moment of deep hurt, deep pain in life, deep regret, a broken marriage, an addiction, a shameful decision, right? Someplace, somewhere along the line in life where you've experienced pain and you've asked God that question. God, where were you? God, if you had only had been there, if you only would have showed up earlier and stopped that or stopped me or healed this person, then, you know, I wouldn't be experiencing this pain. I know, Lord, I know your Easter promise, and I'll go celebrate Easter, that one day, someday, heaven, you're going to make everything all right. It will be all good. It will be all okay. But right now, Lord, I'm hurting. Right now, I'm suffering, Lord. Right now, my brother is dead, and I'm in pain. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at Mary, saw her weeping. And it says that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. I like how Eugene Peterson in the Message version of the Bible translates that text. He says that Jesus was deeply angered. Right? That Jesus looks at Mary's grief and looks at this suffering caused by death, and he gets mad. Jesus gets mad at death. And then after he gets mad, he asks where you laid him, and he sees the tomb. And then one of the shortest but most profound verses in the Bible, he says, and then Jesus wept. Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, weeps. Right? And just to be clear that this weeping that Jesus does is not just kind of like that Scandinavian glistening of the eyes, right? That I'm going to be strong and hold my feelings in. No. Jesus wails. The tears are flowing. He is mourning. He is crying. Jesus has got the ugly cries, right? He's weeping over the death of his friends. And then Jesus draws closer to the tomb. They would have put Lazarus in basically a small cave, rolled a rock on it for his body to decompose. And he says something to Martha and Mary that must have just been shocking. He says, okay, roll the stone away. And could you imagine Martha's fear? I mean, she's like, okay, Jesus, you know, the people are here. Everybody's gathered around to comfort them, to pay their respects. And here Jesus, he shows up late. And now to add insult to injury, he wants them to remove the rock. I mean, what good is that going to do? What is Jesus up to? She must have been incredibly embarrassed, mortified at the additional shame this would cause her and her family. It was bad enough that Lazarus died. What are you asking, Jesus? So Martha, being the ever practical one, she says to Jesus, Jesus, I don't think you understand or get how death works, right? Lazarus been dead for 4 days. He stinks, right? The King James Version of the Bible says, he stinketh. Oh, I have no idea. I don't know what it says, but I thought that was funny, right? But Jesus persists, and he says to Martha, did I not tell you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? And Martha is quiet, and Jesus prays, and the stone is rolled away, and Lazarus, who was dead, walks out of the grave. And John notes that he is bound in his grave clothes. He's wrapped in linen strips from head to toe. He's wrapped in this. But Lazarus walks out of the grave and Jesus says, unbind him. Lazarus resurrected. And now if we fast forward, here's where the details become really important. If we fast forward to Jesus' resurrection, we see that the disciples find the empty tomb. And John is careful to note that then when they see the empty tomb, the linen cloths, the grave clothes, are neatly folded where Jesus lay. No one had to unbind Jesus. And here's the reason. It's because Lazarus was resurrected, but Jesus is the resurrection. Lazarus was rescued from the dead, but Jesus defeated the power of death. The chains of death had to have been unwound or unbinded from Lazarus, but Jesus broke the chains himself because he is the resurrection and the life. Right, and these are why these stories are important, because we learn something about the very definition of resurrection and what that means. It means that God is a God who specializes in bringing life to dead places. And that's not just a one-day, someday sort of thing. That's a right here, right now reality, that God brings life to dead places, that our God is a God of resurrection. Our God is a God that breathes hope and life into dead places in this world. I don't think you're feeling me and getting why this is so important. I mean, some of you are here today because you're celebrating Easter, right? And you're thinking, okay, I got to give God my thanks because one day, someday, he's going to bring me to heaven and wipe every tear from every eye and everything will be made okay. And that's a wonderful promise. I'm not saying that that's not true. I know the power of that. I was up all night last night holding the hand of one of my friends, someone I've known dearly for 15 years, as she died. Someone who, because of MS, has been a quadriplegic for 20 years. Someone I love. right? I know that one day, someday promise. And I saw the comfort it brought to her family, because we know that now my friend is celebrating Easter with Jesus. She's walking with Jesus. Right? That's a powerful promise. I'm not trying to downplay that, but it's not only that. It's that Jesus brings resurrection reality to our lives today. He brings his comfort and hope to our lives today. Some of us, I mean, we believe that Jesus one day, someday will make things right, but did you give up believing that Jesus can do something about your life right now? We believe that we are saved by Jesus, but do you believe that Jesus can save your life? I mean, yes, we will experience struggle in this life. If you are a follower of Christ, if you read Scripture, it seems that the promise is we're going to experience trouble. Every one of us, in one way or another, will experience hardship. But God loves us so much, he's not content to leave us there. And he has a resurrection promise in the midst of our trouble. Yes, in this life, we may experience disease. We may experience cancer. We may have medical difficulties in our life. But the resurrection promise is that we can have comfort and healing and strength even in the midst of that battle. Yes, in this life, we may experience addiction. Right? The power of alcohol or drugs or addiction to perfection or control or whatever it may be. But Jesus is the one who has the power to break the chains of addiction. Yes, in this life we may experience the deep and painful brokenness of relationships. Right? Our marriages might struggle. Our relationship with family might struggle. Whatever it may be. But we know that Jesus gives us the power to forgive and reconcile those broken relationships. Yes, in this life, we may experience sin. Right? We may have that affair. We may morally fail. We may give into that temptation. We may do that thing that we know is wrong. But Jesus Christ is the one that can make all things new, can forgive us and set us on the right path. He is the one that breaks the chains. I love that image. It's an image of Scripture. When the tomb is empty, the chains that bound to sin, death, and devil, they are broken. It's one we sing about often in church, right? He breaks the chains. My chains are gone. Over and over, many songs use that image. What has Easter got to do with me? I want you to ask your question, what are the things that bind you? What are the chains that got you locked down? And of course, I brought a prop in for you to think about that. Jesus breaks the chains. Where are the dead places in your life? You see, the empty tombs means the chains are broken, that resurrection reality is not just one day, someday. It's right here, right now, and that changes everything. The chains are broken so we can find joy in the midst of pain. The chains are broken so we can find light in the darkness of life. The chains are broken so we can find peace in the chaos of life. The chains are broken so we can find freedom when we're held captive and from addiction. The chains are broken so I can find hope in the midst of despair. The chains are broken so I can find comfort in the midst of my grief. The chains are broken so I can find healing from the wounds of my past. The chains are broken so I can find purpose in a life that seems meaningless sometimes. The chains are broken so I can find restoration for a marriage that is struggling. The chains are broken so I can get freedom from the bottle and the addictions that I have. The chains are broken so that shame has no claim on my life. The chains are broken so that the abuser cannot and will not win. The chains are broken so I can forgive as I have been forgiven. The chains are broken so that we can weather any storm. The chains are broken so that worry no longer has to define your life. The chains are broken so that you can have a real relationship with your God, your Savior. The chains are broken so that we can face death and win. The chains are broken so that we can rise up out of the ashes. The chains are broken so the devil cannot win, cannot lie to us anymore. The chains are broken so that no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever tear you from God's hands. The chains are broken. The tomb is empty. Death has not won. The chains are broken. He won. Eternity in Jesus Christ is yours by faith. The chains are broken. Love has won. Do you hear me? Jesus Christ has defeated on the cross in the empty tomb the power of sin and death and the devil. What has Easter got to do with you? Got to do with me? Everything. May you have a blessed Easter. In Jesus' name.